Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's Paul Hamilton.
Paul Hamilton, Sabres season coming to a close, final week here. Last night, Leafs. Tomorrow, Flyers. Sabres lose to the Leafs 4-0, and we check in with Paul Hamilton, our intrepid Sabres beat reporter, who joins us. His appearance brought to you by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Good morning, Paul.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Great atmosphere. Good. I mean, Sabres, Leafs, I don't know. I can never remember the ins and outs of the schedule. We used to get it a lot more, right?
We used to get it. Well, we used to get 8 matchups a year, right, Paul? Which would mean 4 home games,
right? Yeah, it's only 3, and the 2 of them were both played in December, which is kind of goofy.
Yeah,
and then they didn't play again until last night. So yeah, it was only 3 games. Toronto won them all. Usually, even when Buffalo's really bad, they beat the Leafs, but not this year.
Why the numbers, Paul? Yesterday, the Sabres have a winning record in Buffalo against the Leafs in every single decade of their existence, except for this one. They're 2 games under 500. So, like, they can get that back. But they always beat the Leafs here, good or bad.
Yeah, even in Toronto, they usually do pretty well.
Yep.
Or in Hamilton, when they play outside,
right.
Or whenever, they usually do pretty well. But not this year. They lost 6-3, 5-3, and now 4-0.
You know, you're thinking about that very quickly. The current playoff format has, I think it exists because the league thinks it creates rivalries when you get the playoff matchups year after year. But really, it does kind of harm it too, right, Paul? Because the divisions are so much bigger. And I think that's probably the reason why you're only seeing these few matchups. And, I mean, that's not helping rivalries.
No.
If you've got a team that's 90 minutes north of you and you only play them 3 times a year, you barely play them more than, you know, the teams that aren't even in your own division.
Yeah, well, one of the reasons was they were playing teams out west once, and they decided they wanted a home-and-home against the teams out west, so that took away division games that they had. So there are a couple of teams that they wind up playing 4 times, but not everybody, and it kind of alternates around who they're going to play 4 times and who they're not. But the thing is too, don't forget, this is a rivalry for Buffalo. It is not a rivalry from Toronto.
Sure, that's right.
Toronto couldn't care less about the Buffalo Sabres. Their rivalry is the Montreal Canadiens, the Ottawa Senators,
Boston,
to a lesser extent, the Detroit Red Wings.
Bruins.
But yeah, they're more into those teams. The Buffalo Sabres or the Toronto Maple Leafs are like the San Jose Sharks to the Buffalo Sabres.
Right.
They couldn't care less.
That's in part because the Sabres have not been in anybody's way for a long time. And if they were, you know, that might be better. So, Paul, last night, Anthony Stolarz, Joe and I were remembering Saber Killers over the years, and my answer is Luongo, but maybe it's Stolarz.
I said Brian Elliott.
106 saves in a row against this team now, and a winning record and three straight shutouts or whatever. Like, Stolarz was great last night for them, and he continues to have the Sabres number.
Yeah, he has three shutouts in his last four games. He's, you know, if Toronto gets that kind of goaltending in the playoffs, now they've had plenty of goalies who have had good regular seasons and then do not play well in the playoffs. So we'll see where Stolarz does when he gets into the playoffs, but he certainly is red hot right now. And here are the Sabres. Three of their last four games have been, quote, goalied. look at what Jet Greaves is doing for Columbus right now. You know, Buffalo gets two quick goals on him. He'd want the first one back. Second one wasn't great either. And then he slammed the door on him. Made 33 saves in the last two periods. Buffalo didn't score at all and lose 3-2. So, but that just goes to show, I mean, yeah, it was fun to watch them for 6-7 weeks where they were winning a lot of games. They were playing the game the right way. And I think Terry Pegula has to be careful not to get mesmerized by that because the Buffalo Sabres are back. I mean, you should have just seen the disgust on Jason Zucker's face last night. He's just like, this is what we did all year long. I mean, they go from a 5-game winning streak to a 4-game losing streak and get goalied in 3 of the 4. I mean, this is a team that's 7th in the league in scoring, and all of a sudden they can't beat 3 different goalies. I mean, it was a good game from it was the type of game that, you know, the Leaf fans were silent because it was like 0-0 and basically 1-0. Lukanen standing on his head. Stolarz is on his. I mean, the goalies are the show. From as far as I'm concerned, they should have been the top two stars. And, you know, they just either making save after save. Finally, that was the one thing Buffalo did in the game. They left the middle open again. Think of this, all the chances Matthews had, and Lukanen stopped him. He had 6 shots on goal, and five of those were grade-A scoring opportunities that Lukanen stopped. But every time, it was Matthews alone in front, and Lukanen big save. Matthews alone in front, Lukanen big save. And the first goal, alone in front, Lorenz. And that goes in. The goal by Marner. Matthews was wide open in front, makes the save. He gets the rebound, throws it to Marner, gets a layup. So that was the only thing that I just didn't like of the Sabres game is, you know, they did not take the middle of the ice away again. But they had 35 shots on Stolarz. They had plenty of opportunity to have that a 1-1 hockey game. Even the 6-on-4, I think Thompson had 3 one-timers, and Peterka had one on the other side. They were all over the Leafs on the 6-on-5, and they couldn't get through. I mean, they had rebounds. They couldn't get through. It looked like they were wide open from the side, couldn't get through. And then finally, you know, the Leafs almost did what Vegas did. When the Vegas is trying to set up Eichel for the empty netter, they're trying to set up
Matthews
for his 400th NHL goal, and it goes awry. Matthews basically flips Tuck on a cartwheel almost. No penalty was called. And the refereeing was just as bad for both teams all night long. I mean, it was playoff hockey. There was unless you basically shot the puck over the glass or took somebody's head off, you weren't going to the penalty box. And so there was no call, and I think that's one of the reasons Dahlin was so upset when the empty netter went in, because Matthews cartwheeled Tuck and there was no call, and then he winds up scoring the empty netter. He got the puck back, and his 400th NHL goal goes into the empty net, and Buffalo leads the league in empty net goals. They haven't gotten the record yet, and they're not going to. The record's 27, and that was their 25th. So,
twos happened in the game. I mean, they'll have to be down one to make that
and then
possible.
Score, and then get in.
No, you could. Yeah, I mean, right. You could pull it again when they're down two.
Yeah.
But, Paul, revisiting the thing you said about Zucker and his disgust, you know, is he, because a veteran, and he'll be important, he's extended. And not to say that they take a lot of moral victories, but when you say that, I feel like he will be someone to lead the charge to not
not celebrate moral victories going forward. And you know, this team has done that a lot because of how young they are, and they're growing and they're learning all the time. And I wonder if there will be a noticeable shift kind of to try and do less of that, if that needs to be done.
Yeah, he said we've got to figure this out. He said we're not going to be a good team till we do. We're not, and he, to somebody brought up, well, you know, you played 50 good minutes. He said, so? He said, yeah. The hockey game is 60 minutes. He goes, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't in any mood to hear about, and then, as I said, it was a tight game. Toronto plays a different style now. They you earn everything you get from the Leafs, and the Leafs try to play it tight. I thought they did, you know, but the Sabres were able to kind of fight through it. They were willing to fight through and try to win battles and get some pucks to the net and get some people to the net. For the third game in a row, I thought Ostlin was going to get his first goal. He had some great opportunities in front, but he wasn't able to capitalize against the goaltender. And that's the thing. I mean, as a Sabre fan, have they made progress? Sure they have. I think, you know, what we saw for those 6-7 weeks showed us progress. But it also, these last four games have woken us, anybody up who thought that the Sabres had turned into a really good team. I think the last four games have shown us and woken us up that there's still a lot of work to be done on this hockey club.
Paul Hamilton with us. Kevin Adams spoke with Chopin Bulldog yesterday, Paul, and then Lukanen goes out and has that game. And Adams talked about their commitment to Lukanen. And that's, what, two good games in a row here now to close? And Lindy talked about an emphasis on that. How do you think they view Lukanen going into this summer? Not that they would, I think, at all move on from him, but what their level of trust is in him to show up next year like he's looked in the last two games.
I'd say three games. He won him against Boston. That was a game where the Sabres started off horrendously, and they started off feeding the offense for Pastrnak, and Pastrnak was just all over him. I mean, wide open, making plays, and two went in. And then Buffalo figured out, wait, whoa, this is the Boston Bruins. What are we doing here? And they got their game back, and they outscored the Bruins 6-1. Lukanen was able to finally settle into the game. That was like right off the bat. They were leaving Pastrnak basically all by himself. So those two went in, and then he settled in. I thought he made some good saves as the game went on, but he didn't have a lot of work after that. I think he had 20 total shots. But I thought, you know, once they won that game and they outscored the Bruins 6-1 after that, I thought he settled into the net, made a couple of good saves when he had to, and that led to the game in Florida where I thought he was excellent. That was the shootout game. That was a 3-2 game, and I thought he played very well in that game. Stopped two of the three shootout goals. Unfortunately for the Sabres, they didn't score in the shootout, which they had been doing recently. But Quinn didn't score, Tuck didn't score, Paterka didn't score. Curiously, Thompson didn't get a chance. So they wound up losing that game. But I thought he was very good in that game, and I thought he was excellent in this game. I thought he looked like the Lukanen of last year in this game. He was sharp. He was out on top of his crease. He was confident. It was just like every time Matthews got a great chance, it was almost like Lukanen saying, "You're not scoring here. I got you. Sorry." And you know, he just seemed to be right on his game. And that's why that fourth goal, Lindy Ruff brought it up. He was extremely upset because they basically had quit. And, you know, they gave up the empty netter, and then they allow Robertson in on a breakaway. And he felt they needed to be better for their goaltender there. You know, he said that fourth goal, quote, pissed me off. He goes, "I was livid about that." I just don't think he basically, they kind of threw their sticks away and said, well, whatever. And he doesn't like seeing that. So I just thought both goaltenders were, but again, it just goes back to show that this team is not ready for prime time yet. And this team still, you know, has some holes that need to be filled, that needed to be filled in the last two off seasons and weren't. So other holes were filled. But the person that can really help Owen Power, the veteran defenseman who can play top 4 minutes but really go out there and have Owen Powers back. They've needed that for 2 or 3 years, haven't gotten it, and they haven't gotten that veteran that they can plug into their top six to go along with guys like Zucker that they have and Tuck and those types of players, and they haven't been able to get that guy either. And it's you know, it's killed them.
Paul Hamilton, you know, you mentioned Lindy being upset there, and we found out yesterday Kevin Adams saying he'll be back, which is not a surprise really at all. Kevin Adams is expected to be back. I mean, as far as Kevin Adams knows, he's coming back. Mm-hmm. Paul, did Lindy have a good year? Or did Lindy, you know, they bring him in for accountability. That was the big buzzword a year ago. It's about accountability, and Adams was kind of bullish on, I know who will do that job. The year ends, and the playoff goal is not met. How about that goal? Do you think that they are closer there, more adult in that department overall?
Somewhat, yes. But a lot of the problems that people were being benched for a period for, or benched for a couple of shifts for, and they seem to have gotten out of their game, or have popped up again. You know, like the when they set up Kucherov in front of the net, like their teammates. I mean, it's just like, what are you doing? I mean, that to me, that was a benching type of a play, and McLeod did not get benched for that one. He had another doozy turnover in this game. All of a sudden, you know, he's starting to struggle a little bit. And, you know, he was on such a roll where he was getting points. And, you know, here they are in their last four. They haven't won. Well, where's Thompson been? Where's McLeod been? The guys that were, you know, really picking up points and rolling, you know, all of a sudden you haven't heard from them in a while. And this is a team that, you know, obviously needs their guys to be performing if they're going to win hockey games. So, you know, I think Lindy Ruff, I kind of agree with what Lindy Ruff has evaluated himself. And he is extremely upset with the job he's done because he felt it was too late. He goes, well, yeah, the team is playing the way it's supposed to and they're playing good hockey. But he goes, it's too late. And he goes, I thought that I could fix this, and it took too long to fix. And he goes, that's on me. And that's why he wants to be back. I mean, he feels like he didn't do a good enough job. And the one thing I can tell you, he really does want to get in the playoffs and do well. He wants to win a championship for this city. I mean, this is his home now. It was still his home when he was coaching the Dallas Stars and the New Jersey Devils. He'd come back here in the summertime. And he desperately wants to win a championship for this area. And he's pretty upset with the way this year went. And he felt, he got through to them way too late.
Paul Hamilton joining us on the Western Hotline. Paul, two names on the injury front as we go to next year. Like, these are going to be the things we monitor. We'll call this the eye on the blue and gold. Josh Norris and also Owen Power. Norris's injury, they said he could be ready if the postseason were coming and the Sabres were in it. The biggest question for me on Norris, Paul, is the Sabres' highest paid forward who's under contract for a long time. Next year feels like it'll be his debut. We don't really know anything about him in a Sabres uniform. I've seen very, very little, so lots to learn there. You can get a thought on that. And then also Owen Power, it sounds like a serious injury, and whether or not that bleeds into the offseason, how far into the offseason, how ready he is when the season begins in a year when they were looking for him to add strength. The Power injury to me could be something that, you know, it just kind of changes their offseason in a way that they were not hoping it would.
You're right. Yeah, it's a shame. This kid needs his offseason. He needs to get stronger. He needs to get better. And, you know, he needed a full offseason to do that. Now, Kevin Adams said that, you know, he should be ready for next year. So that tells me probably not surgery for, you know, an ACL or something like that, because I think that would take him past that. So maybe, who knows, maybe we're looking at sprains or something like that, but that's still for a while. Now, Adam said they knew that Norris was going to be 6 to 8 weeks. That certainly isn't what Lindy Ruff has been saying all along, but Lindy Ruff is a coach. They don't always tell you. Sometimes Lindy's very upfront about injuries. Sometimes he's very vague. Like Beck Malenstein, he didn't want to say upper or lower body. It's like, Lindy, there's two games left. You know? Really? We're hiding what Beck Malenstein has? I mean, come on. But, you know, he's been very honest on some of the other injuries, you know, talking about them. And he actually said yesterday about Norris that he's feeling much better, but we're not going to use him. We're not going to play him. It sounded like, you know what, if the playoffs started last night, Norris would have been playing. Mm-hmm. But it's like there's two games left. Why do it? You know, you went this far. It was, a soft tissue injury. Kevin Adams said they did know about it. It's the first time, really, he's talked where he could be asked about that. And he said, yes, they did know about it, and they would have made the trade anyway. But it sounded like he probably could have played these last two, but what's the point? Especially, why risk it?
Eye on the blue and gold. That's brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business, so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business is protecting your business. All right, Paul, one more. The Flyers tomorrow night and fan appreciation night. We close things out. And Kevin Adams said he'll meet with the media, I think, Friday or Saturday for locker
cleanout. Saturday.
Yeah. Okay, it'll be Saturday.
The older players will go through a locker cleanout on Friday, the younger players on Saturday. When he's done with the younger players, he and Lindy Ruff will be doing extended talk on Saturday, so you will be able to hear both gentlemen's comments. They can't really say when that's going to be because you don't know if a player is going to be in their meeting for an hour or if they're going to be in their meeting for 10 minutes.
Right. Yeah,
so they can't say, well, it's going to be 3 o'clock or it's going to be 5 o'clock or all I know is we're going to be on the air from 2 until 5 o'clock on Saturday where we normally aren't. I think Brian Cozy will be part of it and Derek Kramer will be part of it. And so when those press conference happens, you will hear them. But we just can't pinpoint for you when those might be because we just don't know when the meetings will end.
Very good. Thanks, Paul.
Take care.
Paul Hamilton. His appearance brought to you by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. A tease going to the break. I wanted to talk about Josh Allen and pressure, but I forgot I had booked Paul for 7 and not 7:30. So the hand up, that's on me. We can do that conversation when we get back if you'd like.
Yeah. The playoffs, by the way, I think will maybe be ongoing on Saturday. The playoffs say they're scheduled to begin on the 19th. That's Saturday. Stanley Cup playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to it pretty quickly here.
I saw a highlight of Sabres Bruins that I forgot about. Totally forgot about.
I saw the same thing. Game one.
It's amazing.
2010.
The Sabres played the Bruins, and that's the series where Vanek gets his ankle chopped by Boychuk, and they lose. Chetan scores a game winner on Miller.
Chetan was good. He might have led that series in points.
He was good for the Bruins. Anyway, in that first game of the series, here are the Sabres and the Bruins fighting 10 times.
Yeah.
And...
yeah.
Is that just lost to history? Because I do not remember that.
I remembered one moment, which was Rafi Torres having Chara in a headlock.
Okay.
But I didn't remember what was around it.
Lucic and Ludman going at Ludman getting in
the Tony
like,
Ludman is Tony just Ludman's going like, at Lucic.
I don't know how I found myself here. I don't want this.
I don't know if he knew what weight class Lucic was in yet. I mean, that's a young Lucic.
It is a very young Lucic, yeah. So
Coletta's in there.
But watching that highlight, I mean, Coletta in that highlight package, he gets hit against the boards without a helmet on.
Yeah.
And comes out bloodied.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's amazing. It's part of the playoff drought is, you're mad about missing the playoffs and decisions and this and that. But really what it is we've just been robbed of memories.
Mm-hmm.
Good, positive, fun times.
Yep.
And that stinks. Yeah.
They won that game, by the way.
They did win that game, and they lost the series. They were winning game two until, the NHL pretty much lets people break other players' ankles, and that's fine. It's fine. Not mad about it. Not bitter. 803-0550. Some draft stuff at 8 o'clock with Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills podcast. We'll check in 8 days ahead of the Bills draft, of course, and the NFL draft first round. And I've got a question for you about Allen and pressure. We'll get to that on the other side here on WGR.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. One offer per account.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings.
Which for me would be pineapple and toenails. Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
Samuelson's got no stick. McLeod just dropped him a stick.
Nylander trying to get the Leafs drawn in a little bit to open it up right here. Far circle, Luukkonen slides over and makes the stop on Matthews, holding at 3.99.
UPL, one of the first moments of the game. For the moments in your life, go forth to Firth Jewelers. Sabres fall to the Maple Leafs 4-0. Let's do quickly as a goalie, Owen Parker. Lindy got really mad about the fourth goal being given up. You're pulled out of the net. They score the empty netter. You go back in. Mm-hmm. You give up another one. Is that as mad as a goalie gets?
100% the maddest you can get as a goaltender. I used to hate those goals. And what was even more impressive was my dad was always very calm, at least to me. But if that ever happened to me, I could feel him like combust on the side. Like he couldn't handle it.
Uh-huh.
I probably handled it a little better than him, even though I may have snapped a stick or two after a play like that.
But, yeah.
I mean, it's just a horrible job. Bryson's just sleeping and slides over to try and kill a play on the wall that's mm-hmm. nothing and gives Robertson a lane. It's horrible.
So that's
the worst goal.
Give me a comparison in life. Well, that's like what
that
the game is because the game is over.
That's like getting a speeding ticket, and you got your car when you get to your destination, and like a bird poops on your head or something.
But I'd be still madder about the speeding ticket. The fact that this makes you the maddest. What's
more mad?
Apply it somewhere else for me. It's what?
It's incomparable. It's just.
It's insult to injury or whatever you want to say. But I mean, Lindy was really mad about it, and I get it. Like people.
Yeah.
But you're. Whatever, just digging into like what it means. You're expecting a team to, hey, everybody, dig back in The game just ended, effectively. Yeah. But it's very important that you dig in right here and we don't get scored on again.
Yeah, it's an awkward spot as a coach and as a player, but it's still just...
I'm not disputing it.
It's the job. Like, you have to do that. Yeah. And, yeah, it's just... It's a brutal, brutal place to be.
Owen Parker with as a goalie. Lukanen gave up that extra one.
I was trying to think of like a golf analogy. It's like a par 5 and you're 250 away and you think, okay, I can get there. So you pipe a 3-wood. And then you blade the chip. Is that good?
I don't know. I mean, you've got to give me a comparison where something is over.
It's over. You've already suffered
the injustice.
That's right.
And then something else happens.
Yeah.
And you're even madder about it. So anyway, if you want to try that on, you can. 803-0550.
I have a putt to break 80 from 7 feet. I miss it. And then I walk up for the 2-foot tap-in, and I miss that too. There you go.
Maybe.
It's closer. I want to find a good one. Because that is a horrible goal to give up.
Yes.
Horrible.
Speaking of golf, had a question for you about Josh Allen I wanted to get to. Because the Masters...
And it's a golf question?
It's more about pressure. Because this week has been... I've been consuming more Masters stuff and more Rory stuff. Mm-hmm. Just to kind of get the historical context of what happened. And I was reading Kyle Porter, who writes at Normal Sport, and former CBS golf writer. And one of the things he pointed out about McIlroy, I want to make this about Allen, because there's something different about Rory's pressure versus some other pressure. And it's a small difference, but the way that he said it was kind of interesting to me, which is that there's pressure of, will you ever do a thing? And then there's pressure of, will you ever do a thing that everyone agrees you should do?
Mm-hmm.
There's pressure for Justin Rose to win a Masters. There's pressure over every putt. Ludvig Åberg, he's got pressure on those putts down the stretch. So does Corey Connors. If Corey Connors had a putt to win the Masters, there's a lot of pressure on him.
Right.
But I don't know that everybody on earth agrees Corey Connors should win a Masters.
No, nobody probably thinks he should.
Right. So
he has to.
Let's take this to Allen for a moment. If the Bills get to, not the Bills, if the Texans get to a Super Bowl, CJ Stroud will have pressure on him. Does the world agree that guy should win a Super Bowl? I don't think so.
No, not quite.
Does the world agree Josh Allen should?
Yes. Yes, everybody would say yes.
And Rory was talking about the pressure to do something that people tell you you will. Before this tournament at Augusta, Jack Nicklaus picked him to win. All the greats are like, I think Rory's going to win it. Imagine that all the greats are just like, oh yeah, I'm picking you. No pressure. You should win this.
Mm-hmm.
And Allen, to me, the Bills winning the Super Bowl and the comparison to Rory finally breaking through at the Masters, like, that's not that far off. And it got me to thinking about Allen. Do we think that he feels pressure? Internal, external? Because I don't think he often looks like it. And that doesn't mean he doesn't feel it.
Mm-hmm.
But with McIlroy, we see him battling through it. You can watch it happen.
Yeah. And he's spoken about it too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's because of a decade of missing opportunities in majors.
A decade of not winning.
Speeding away, not speaking with the media after the Open. There's no doubt. He feels that. And with Allen, I just wonder, because I think Bills fans might start to feel like, the clock is ticking. Let's get something done here. Let's make sure we capitalize on the Josh Allen era. He's amazing. He's got to do it. And I don't mean pressure like if he doesn't, we're mad at him or we're blaming him. Just a level of everybody kind of agrees this guy should win one.
A level of pressure that it affects your actual play. How about that? Because that, to me, happened to Rory. The pressure affected his play. It affected shots. It affected putts. I mean, that happened. Allen, can you think of a time or a game where that, I'm not saying there aren't any, but with Rory, it felt like you got those moments a lot. At least recently, you've had them a lot. Well, actually, no, you can go all the way back. He talked about 2011, how that was another one where, he was feeling it. And he was younger then, but he's always kind of had that. So, with Allen, what's that game? I have one in my head, but it's so long ago, and it's kind of before anybody would have said, oh, he's got to win. he's got to win the Super Bowl.
Houston?
He played in Houston in the playoffs in 2019. Like, he was red-faced.
He was 2011 Rory.
Yes.
He 100%. Was.
100%.
He was. Look at this guy. He's amazing. He's not ready for this.
What is he doing? Right. Rory was putting it in the water, and Allen, it was, I'm throwing laterals to Dawson Knox on the final drive over his head. So, since then, it's like become clear, like, oh, this guy should win. This guy should win the Super Bowl.
Should win. We all think he should win.
Like, the only bad game I would say he's had in the playoffs is the Bengal game, and that, you could say, was as much about the whole team around him as it was him in pressure, right, and mental exhaustion from DeMar Hamlin, and, like, that doesn't get attributed to, oh, he just cracked under pressure. I don't see Allen getting cracked under pressure.
No.
I don't think.
No, in fact, we all kind of think when pressure goes up, Allen gets better, but... It's all, again, like, the comparisons are rough sometimes. What does Allen do? On the 18th hole, he's usually pretty good. On the 17th hole, he's usually pretty good. The mistakes in the last Chiefs game came in, like, the 10th and the 11th when he misses a throw to Curtis Samuel, who had a lot of room to run. Or, like, going back to the AFC Championship game, they scored a bunch of points. He played really well.
Yeah,
it's funny, like, whatever. I realize golf comparisons don't work. Like, Rory shot 73 and won. 73 is not necessarily a good score, but it was enough.
No, he was over par for the day,
right,
wasn't he?
And Allen goes out there and shoots 5-under and loses. He has the Justin Rose rounds.
Yeah,
where we
it would
all
be
think,
like it would be more like if Rory had lost it. This is at least 13 seconds. I don't know if you would say this is last year too. That it would be like if Rory had. He had played really well on Sunday.
And
like,
somebody shot a 62.
He shot a 67, 5-under, but Bryson shot like an all-time round, and that's why he lost.
Right. And that's not
that
choking.
That would be closer.
That's not choking that somebody else beat you.
Right. What are the Allen choking moments?
I don't really have any.
No, it's just that Houston playoff game.
No, the only ones.
That's it.
Again, choking is tough because choking really, you only get that when you're in the lead.
Yeah.
And the Bills have
been
trailing. At the ends of these games.
No, yeah, this is right. This is right.
I mean, it doesn't have to be that way.
If you have a shot to win it at the end.
And you airmail a throw, sure.
And even, like, the most recent example, like, there always is just kind of this out for him. And I think it's deserved. I'm not saying, like, he deserves all the blame. It's, okay, that fourth down play. If I just look at the box score and don't think of the game, it's Josh Allen's got the ball with 2 minutes to go, and he's got a chance to win it. In Kansas City, down 6. And there it is, fourth down. And the play fails. So on the surface, you could say, you choked there. You had a chance to win the game, and you turned it over on downs.
Mm-hmm.
But we watched the game, and we saw that ball got to his tight end.
Mm-hmm.
After the play call was like, he should have never in a million years been able to get that ball off. And he gave his guy a chance. So even that, it's like, in that moment where... This is designed for you to fail and for you to choke.
He still
kind of pulled it out to at least give his guy a shot. So there are not really these moments for him. So I think it's – can I even go even further with it? Maybe I don't need to because, again, we're kind of showing that there aren't really these choking moments. Look how he deals with pressure, like in the literal sense, like a pass rush over his career.
He's never...
Guys in his face, guys around him, like he's calm, cool, collected. He knows where to go. He knows the awareness. He knows where guys are.
Or when he's frantic, and that's like the Rory comparison, when he's frantic, he's just going to make the best play. And that's, you know, like the 7-iron around the tree.
Yeah.
It's about the top level ability. So I just...
It's not bad. Allen, though, like I don't... I think that's the difference between him and Lamar right now. Is Lamar's got these plays that people can point to and say, oh, he choked.
Right, he fumbled a ball.
He choked.
He airmailed one against the Bills.
The pick six to Taron Johnson, if you want it. Like, oh, look at Jackson over here.
He really played.
I don't think his is to the degree that, like, Rory's was. But you've got these certain plays with Jackson that you don't have with Allen.
He did have Mark Andrews drop a ball.
He did. And the GM is non-committal on Andrews coming back next year now.
Hmm.
So that could be his... That'd be tough, man. You're like
last
the
moment.
All-time player, all-time tight end for the Ravens, and that might be your last moment with the franchise.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe, do we have a red flag on Cam Ward as the number one pick? I mean, he's saying...
Other than his name being the same as a goaltender from... Never mind.
Yeah, I get that. He's been saying stuff on Twitch while gaming, And it's kind of funny. We'll decide if it, you decide out there if it's a red flag, if you would want your QB1 saying things like this. 803-0550, our number. We'll play that. We'll get to Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills podcast at the top of the hour on WGR.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry blend and orange hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Okay, so you already said really, really, Jamar, Justin.
I think Chase and Jamar is like the length, like the.
And then for my last one, Treylon Burks.
Future number one pick Cam Ward, who's going to go to the Titans. He's playing Fortnite, and on the chat, people are asking him questions. He asked him one of your favorite coaches in the NFL. He says, Brian Callahan, Stefanski, Dable, and Aaron Glenn. Jets.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's fine. Guys, stop the draft. Then he's asked for his top four.
Wait, all teams in the top 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
That's fine. Like, these teams might draft me. Then he's asked for his top four NFL wide receivers.
Yeah.
And he says, Calvin Ridley, number one. Okay. We'll let it
slide. I see what you're doing there.
We'll let it slide. And then he decides, I'm not playing that game anymore.
about maybe teams that'll draft me. Number two, Ja'Marr Chase. Number three, Justin Jefferson. And he goes back to the game that the fourth best receiver in the NFL is Treylon Burks.
Right. He's like, guys, I could put Burks here in number two. That'd be too ridiculous.
Yeah, right.
Two, I can't possibly put Burks at number two. I gotta make people think I'm a little serious here. So he puts him at four.
Does he want Jonathan Mingo number five?
No, he'll put Mingo number seven.
Treylon Burks number four. Nick Westbrook Ikhine number five. Is he back with Tennessee?
No, he's in Miami.
He went to Miami.
Yeah. What?
He might, you know.
Didn't get out of here.
All he does is catch touchdowns.
He's gonna have nine catches for three touchdowns this year.
While we're on Miami, the Dolphins GM said he would only trade Tyreek Hill for two firsts.
He'd only listen for two firsts.
Not a serious.
He's not even saying he would do the deal. He's saying I would listen.
Okay, bad GM. That's a bad GM. Two firsts?
I mean, he's just talking, right?
Say one first. Maybe somebody will call.
He knows no one's actually going to... Well, I guess... No, what is he doing? He's just telling you I'm not trading Tyreek Hill. That's it.
Yeah, all right. 803-0550-1-888-550-2550. Our phone number.
He should trade Tyreek Hill, by the way.
Yes, he probably should. I mean, he should probably rebuild. It's time in Miami. They should. We quickly talked about it yesterday. The Jalen Ramsey news is a sign of a rebuild. It's happening. It's over for you. Your window's over. Hill's old, and you know.
Yeah. The problem for him though is like, okay, it's time to rebuild. This is year 10 for him as the general manager.
You're right. Yeah, it's tough.
Like. He's got to get rolling here. I mean, he could get fired after one more bad year.
Join us in the fight against cancer by riding with Bulldog and WGR's Ride for Roswell team Saturday, June 28th. Once you join the team, you get an email to pick your team T-shirt and water bottle at Tom's Pro Bikes on Walden Ave in Lancaster. Not a rider, you can still support the cause by donating to the team and helping us reach our goal. Visit WGR550.com for details. Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast. When we get back, we're gonna have a little fun with Joe, and I'm going to make him have a little bit of fun with us, which is, what if the Bills traded up to number 8? Dan Morgan of the Panthers said, they're open for business. What player would have to be there at 8 for it to be worth the Bills going all the way up for it? We'll see if he's got an answer for that. And, of course, you know, 8 days out, keep talking draft. I've got a question about safety and if the Bills could really go there and what that means. So we'll get to those with Joe Marino. If you have a question you want us to throw him, fire it off to us, you know, text us, tweet us, whatever. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Train to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Train to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.